Gabriela Sade is an economist in Caracas, Venezuela. She's 27, and she works for Fundación La Mejor Venezuela, which is an internationally funded think tank that's affiliated with the Venezuelan opposition party.
That would be opposition to President Nicolas Maduro. He's been the country's president since 2013, and under his presidency, the country's economy has basically fallen apart.
Yesterday, we talked to Gabriela about the economic data in Venezuela. But also, Gabriela is not just looking at numbers on a page. She lives in Caracas. She grew up there. The country's economy is collapsing all around her, and it's something that she sees every single day. She sees it in the closed-up storefronts, the shrinking number of people on the streets, and how skinny everyone is getting.
And we wanted to get that experience from Gabriela, too. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, a day in the life of an economist in Caracas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Gainbridge. Gainbridge offers annuities designed for the digital age. Simplified products with guaranteed returns that you can buy direct. Learn more at gainbridge.life/NPR. Gainbridge is not available in all states. Support also comes from Hello Monday, a new podcast from LinkedIn's editorial team about the changing nature of work and how to get the most from Monday and your career. Find Hello Monday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Gabriela Sade says she's incredibly lucky. She loves her work and her job pays her in U.S. dollars, $300 a month. That actually, she says, is a decent wage in Venezuela.
In spite of her relative privilege, living in Caracas is not easy. The city and country are crumbling around her and her family, and she sees this every day as soon as she gets up.
One of the first things I do is check if I have, you know, running water.
Really?
Yeah, just to see if I can, to see if I will be able to take a shower or not.
Gabriela says she has water about half the time.
But shower or no shower, Gabriela has to go to work. But she doesn't take her car, not anymore.
I need this piece to get it fixed, and we cannot find it anywhere in Venezuela. So I have to take public transportation, but since I bring my laptop with me to work, I cannot do that because I could get robbed. This is Caracas, okay? One of the most dangerous cities in the world.
These days, Gabriela takes a taxi to work. Of course, the taxis can't get parts either. So Gabriela says the ride can be pretty hair-raising.
Once Gabriela's in her office, she analyzes data with a team of economists and researchers and tries to come up with economic solutions for Venezuela. She says it's basically like an office anywhere. Desks, computers, water cooler talk.
Power outages that last for hours.
We are so used to having them. We even have an alarm here in the office whenever we have a blackout so we can, you know, plug out everything so our equipment won't get damaged.
Oh, so there's not like a power surge or something.
Exactly.
Around the middle of the day, Gabriela says, she tries to go to the grocery store to shop for her family. But before she can do that, she has to get Venezuelan bolivars. Gabriela and her colleagues get paid in dollars. And Gabriela says she's very grateful for that. But a lot of times, to buy staples or really anything, you need bolivars. Of course, the bolivar is having a terrible time. Hyperinflation has gripped the country. It is now running at 10,000,000%. That's what inflation is right now in Venezuela, 10,000,000%.
In order to deal with all this, Gabriela and all of her colleagues, they have this system. She converts a little bit of U.S. dollars to bolivars every day through a currency trader.
$10 a day or $20 a day, depending on my expenses. So I will talk to that trader and that person would get me a buyer and then I will sell them my dollars.
Is it like on the phone? Like a...
Yeah, over WhatsApp.
Oh, over WhatsApp.
Everyone has a guy.
The guy converts Gabriela's 10 or 20 U.S. dollars into bolivars and transfers that tiny amount into her Venezuelan bank account. The rest of her money, she keeps in a bank account in the U.S., where it's protected from the inflation. And even the 10 or 20 bucks that the guy transfers into Gabriela's Venezuelan bank account is not immune to inflation.
I cannot postpone my shopping. I have to do it right away.
Because what happens if you postpone?
The prices will rise.
If Gabriela waits too long to do her shopping, she says, her money could lose enough value that she would not have enough to get what she needs.
And it's on her way to the supermarket that Gabriela sees just how much things have changed in her country.
The worst part is whenever I have to go to the supermarket to buy something. Because on my way to the supermarket, I see all these families trying to look food on the trash. Families, even with like, I don't know, five kids, they don't ask you for money. They ask you for food. So I will carry that food with me to give them, you know, like some meals.
Yeah.
And I had never seen like middle-class people looking for food on the trash. But now you do. Because, for example, a teacher that, you know, used to be in the middle class now is now in poverty.
Gabriela says that when she gets to the grocery store, it is always packed with a huge line snaking around the corner. Because the cash is worthless, everyone has to pay by debit card. And because the internet and the power is spotty, getting a payment through can take a really long time. Sometimes the store will just close its doors because it can't take any payments.
And says Gabriela, the grocery store has become this kind of grab bag. The shelves are often empty and the items are random things. Having a grocery list is pointless.
You know, whenever you see a good that you haven't seen in months, even if you don't need it, you just get crazy and you buy it. Like, for example, today I saw milk and I hadn't seen it for a while. So I got like 6 liters of milk and I didn't even need that. But that's like the effect of the hyperinflation and everything.
What were the prices like?
Oh, in US dollars, it would be more than $1 a liter.
Most people in Venezuela make the equivalent of around $6 a month. That milk would be incredibly expensive, out of reach for them. Part of this is because of hyperinflation, and part of it is because Venezuela's economy has collapsed, and so have all of its institutions, like the farms. So a country full of starving people is not really making that much of its own food. It is importing that food.
And it's not just food. Any kind of necessity can be hard to get. When Gabriela's 95-year-old grandfather got sick, she ran into the same problem.
He was in the hospital 3 months ago, and we couldn't find the medicine that he needed. We had to go to, like, 10 places, but then I swapped the medicine with the people that had it, and I gave that person the medicine that they needed.
Oh, you traded. You, like, bartered.
Yeah, exactly.
After work, Gabriela says she likes to go for a run outside.
There is a park in Caracas where most runners go. It's safe. There are militaries there and everything.
Gabriela says there are some rich military and government types who like this park, so it's protected. Otherwise, she says, the city has gotten so dangerous, especially for a woman alone.
When she gets home, Gabriela says the first thing she does is check her computer and especially Twitter for news.
Most of the TV and radio stations are owned by the government. So it's all about fake news. I mean, for them, we live in the best country in the world. It's the classic manual of a dictator. So we have Twitter, and we stay informed there.
It's through Twitter and through texting that Gabriela realized that the blackouts were happening across the whole country and not just in the city of Caracas. It's Twitter that warns her when more blackouts are coming or reports that 80 newborn babies died in the hospital during the last blackout.
When news broke yesterday that opposition leader Juan Guaido's car had been attacked in Caracas, Gabriela sent me a photo of hundreds of cars pulled over to the side of the highway, full of people desperately trying to get reception on their phones to get some kind of news update. It turned out he was fine.
Of course, Gabriela is an exceptionally lucky person in Venezuela. Her father is a U.S. citizen, and she has some money saved up in a bank account in the U.S.
Because you could leave if you wanted.
Yeah, I could. I could.
Why do you stay?
I don't know. Maybe this will sound very millennial, but I feel like I have a purpose here. I know that I can make a difference. And it's like I'm very, very committed to the people of Venezuela. That's why I'm here.
At the end of her day, Gabriela goes to bed, sets her alarm for 6 a.m. After all, she has to get up early to do her daily water check.